Like, you're thinking this graphic might help, but you're thinking, here we go. You're thinking, if you're left brain, you're thinking analytically, logically, probably good in math. Raise your hand if you're that. Okay, and then if you're a right brain, you're thinking more creatively. Maybe you wear Birkenstocks, or you believe in vampires. I'm just kidding. That's not criteria. But left brain thinkers generally think a little more loosely and creatively. All right. So it seems like there's more right brain thinkers here and left brain thinkers. What I'm going to talk about today is more towards the. I'm sorry. There's more left brain than right brain. Today, what I'm going to talk about or focus on is more the right brain thinking. I work, and I'll go through this, but I work in a company that we focus on web design. So this focuses on that, but the main point, one of the takeaways should be that you don't have to be a right brain thinker to think creatively. All right, so let me get started here. All right, so the title of this is DMOPS. The D stands for design. And I'll go into a little bit about what that means a little bit later on. First, let me just start and tell you a little bit about myself. This is me. I work at Viget Labs. This is the team you've met. Like Mr. Brown said, you've met Samantha Warren and Jackson Wilkinson at this point. Great members of our team. Hopefully there'll be more folks that come here in the future. We consist of designers. We each have our own blog. It's our design blog. Developers, marketers. People are mostly looking at Google Analytics and also how do you project a company's visual message. And they're also there. The message doesn't always have to be visual, but working with branding. And we also have user experience people and project managers who you'll find in this space. If you haven't checked out our blogs, they're really cool. We have offices in Washington, D.C., I'm in Falls Church, which is close to Washington, D.C., and Durham, North Carolina. The Research Triangle is also known. And we've done work for PBS, Choice Hotels Canada, Odeo, it's a podcasting streaming video service, Squidoo, which is sort of a niche experience. If you have a Squidoo site and you have an interest in bowling, you can set up a bowling web page, and it creates a community. People come in there, they participate, and anyone that sets up a community can eventually earn money from the traffic that comes to their site. So it's a profit sharing thing. It's pretty cool. So that's kind of what we do. I'm not going to talk about a lot of that today. What I want to talk about today is that, there's work, but sometimes work, all work and no play just makes for a really dull day. So at Viget, we have ebbs and flows of busyness. Right now, the company, we're really slammed, especially the design team. But a couple weeks ago, or at the beginning of the year, it was pretty light. And you sit around, okay, how can we be productive when we can't always be billable? So we have some different ideas on how we do that. And one of those ideas is based off of a concept called a flash mob. You guys ever heard of this? Raise your hand if you've heard of a flash mob. No? Okay, excellent. Flash mob is really kind of this spur of the moment event where people come up with a concept, and I'll walk through. It's basically it's spontaneous, unexpected, unusual, collaborative, very social, and quick. So what I mean by that, there's picture, for instance, hundreds of people showing up at this one place and having a giant pillow fight, just spur of the moment, out of nowhere. You could be sitting there having a picnic one day, and all of a sudden, hundreds of people just show up and start having this crazy pillow fight, feathers flying everywhere. This was an example of a flash mob that occurred. I think it looks like France, I'm not certain. Another one would be the idea of a silent arena, or a silent disco. Silent disco is a concept where you see a bunch of people, it looks like they're just dancing at a normal party, there's DJ, but they're all wearing headphones and there's no music being played from speakers. They're all listening to their own music and dancing just randomly. So it's sort of this weird experience. If you took your headphones off, it would be just weird. and this is an example. Maybe we can watch this video at the end of it. I think I have to switch computers, but this happened recently. Some guy set up this Facebook event, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to show up. I want people to show up to this train station in Liverpool, and we're going to have a big silent disco." He didn't think anyone was going to show up, but as you can see, I mean, thousands of people showed up, poured into the arena. It was like 6 or 7 o'clock on a weeknight, and just and the people at the Liverpool train station just didn't know what to do because people just no music being played, but they were just sitting there dancing and having a great time. So again, this idea of spontaneous, collaborative, social, coming together, and then at the end of it, just dispersing and just kind of like looking back and reflecting on it. What's great about streaming video these days is you can capture those moments, and they have legs beyond the initial event. Another one is a common thing, the zombie walk. So people dress up like zombies, and you know, everything plays into that. When they talk, you know, they're walking around looking for brains, and you know, it's they really play it up. So I guess in Pittsburgh they have an annual zombie walk, but photographs of these are great, just seeing people all decked up in makeup, and pretty interesting. So the planning of these things is pretty simple, and I'll talk a little bit about how we've adapted this concept. When we've taken it back to Viget, we don't go out and do these things. But we found ways in those times when we're not busy to come together, collaborate, do something quickly, and then get on with our regular day-to-day. So planning is simple. When we do it at Viget, we generally will plan a week or so in advance when we know it's going to be quiet. The first week of January for us was really quiet because it was coming right off the holidays. There was a new administration coming into power of the White House, so lots of uncertainty in the market. So it was really unusually quiet. You gather. So once you have that time and date, you'll gather together to do what it is you set out to do. So usually we plan it out a week in advance. We know that on Thursday or Friday, we're going to spend 4 hours that afternoon doing a collaborative exercise. And then you act. So the day comes, you're there, you spend those next 4 hours doing what you set out to do. I'll show some examples of what we do during that time. And then again, disperse and reflect on the madness. So what we've done with them at Viget is we wanted to find a way to do some practical things that would still, as designers, let us explore things that we wanted to do, either using Photoshop or Illustrator, something that's we don't always get to do on a client on client projects. Client projects are usually very focused, and there's a deadline, you have to meet it. It can be stressful. Sometimes you make compromises that you don't want to make just because you have to. And this is a chance for us to go and have some fun and think about things we wanted to do for a long time, but we never get to do them on client projects. So some of the things we've done in the course of the past year, we've done three of these. One of those we did desktop wallpapers, another one we designed t-shirts, and the most recent one, the one that happened the first week of January, we just did, you know, the little 1-inch buttons you put them on your book bag or you put them on your shirt. The presidential campaign had, you know, hundreds of different button designs. If you look back from presidential campaigns from years past, I mean, they've been doing 1-inch buttons or even buttons for decades. It was kind of cool to look back on those for a historic record. So the very first one we did was back, I think last summer, we did desktop wallpapers. So every designer, the criteria is usually, we'll usually either try to come up with a theme or it's pretty loose. In this case, the wallpapers was pretty loose. People could do whatever they wanted to do, but it was essentially design desktop wallpapers that we can put up on our blog and people can download and put on their computers just for fun. So here's some examples of the wallpapers that we had done. So this is One of the other great things about it is we include the design team, but the design team includes all different kinds of skill sets. So we have our visual designers who spend a lot of time in Photoshop, doing a lot of things with layering and texturing, a lot of very colorful designs that they create. We also have user experience designers who don't always work in color. Sometimes they're working in grayscale and black and white. Sometimes they're only working with lines. They do wireframes and user flows. Have you guys ever heard those terms? I see a couple nods. So if you haven't, wireframe essentially is looking at a web page and thinking about it in a structural and behavioral way. You haven't added any sort of emotional design to it. So it's only thinking about, okay, I've got one wireframe. How does a user get from this page to this next page? When they click this button, what happens? We generally like to work on that and make sure that the user's experience is locked down before we get into the visual design aspect. That way we can focus on it. We don't get caught up with the client looking at a design and saying, you know, I love it, but I can't get past it has the color brown in it. That really just throws me off. I hate brown, or it's always the same color. It's brown, pink, and purple. For some reason, clients hate those colors. So, you know, we use a lot of blues and a lot of greens because those are happier colors, and usually don't get us caught up in that. But the user experience designers will work, like I said, in grayscale. So they're not as visually creative as our visual designers. So, but they participate in these exercises because it's not about your talent. It's about your creativity. So when we do these design mobs or demobs, what we're looking for is the creative aspect. So the designer who'd done this is actually Jackson Wilkinson, who spoke here, who is more focused on the user experience side, the structural, behavioral side of design. But yet, he was able to do a really good design in color. His focus was, he was taking old school maps. I mean, you can see this is a gross generalization of the Chesapeake Bay. But this is our Bigot office in the Falls Church area, and then Bigot office down in our Durham area. So this was his way of expressing what he wanted to do. Sometimes you'll see these come out, they're Bigot themed because that's what people want to do. So that around the office, we can all put these desktop wallpapers on our computer and enjoy them. Here's another one. This one was done by a front-end developer. So again, a guy who's not necessarily working in Photoshop on a daily basis, not always thinking creatively, but yet he was able to create a texture and color and bring in, this is from our logo, bring in some symbols from that to express himself in this way. So he was being creative in this realm. Now we're getting some of the visual designers. This is a visual designer down in our Durham office. But springtime, she wanted to do something colorful. I'll go through these pretty quickly. Another one, it's a photo collage. You took a Ferris wheel and a landscape, mashed them together, created these atmospheric feelings with the swooping lines coming in, some texture up here, birds. All these things were from different photographs that he mashed together and created something special. These happen in a period of 4 hours. So you really have to, you know, get into sticking with that idea you have early and seeing it through. Like, because at the end of this, we expect everyone to be done. Because we don't want to have to, you know, we want this getting in the way of our business work. It's just something that we do to have a creative outlet. Old bubblegum wrappers, sort of organized by color. So in a city landscape, you want to do something with birds. So there's birds. This one is just more design words that as a designer came to his mind, that he comes to his mind on a daily basis. So you want to do something cool with that. It's a typographic exercise. If you listen to Samantha's talk, she probably focused on typography, very important element of design. This is Samantha's design. Based on a Lyle Lovett, lyrics from a Lyle Lovett song. These are mine. Focusing on sticking with the company spirit. And here's some of the t-shirts that we've created. So They generally happen about every 3 months, sort of when the period of ebbs and flows, the peaks and valleys of being busy happen. So I think we did this one right around Thanksgiving time, which either can be really crazy busy, or it can be like really quiet because everybody's thinking about vacation and time off. But if it's crazy busy, it's because there's some sort of deadline that we have to finish this project before so and so goes off to Paris to spend their Thanksgiving there, whatever it ends up being. So here's some t-shirts that we designed. This one's great. The designer had taken photographs of his hand creating letters. So you'll see D, E, there's an S, I think it's I, G, N. So he spelled design with his hands. And then he added some rings that had our company name on it, Viget. So pretty cool. This one I had done. It's all based on doing a sketch in a sketchbook, scanning that in, bringing it to Illustrator, turning it into paths, and then just doing a collage of elements to make a design. Here's a photo collage. This one speaks for itself, by the same designer. The same guy who did the birds and the wallpaper, he wanted to do birds again. So he turned them into this transformative design for me at that time to flying birds. His wife was having a baby around this time, so he was thinking a lot about this idea of renewal and life in general. Pretty cool. This was the concept here is a mashup between Cooler. Have you heard of Adobe's Cooler tool? Their color scheming tool. It's essentially a tool where you can go in, you can either upload a photograph and it will automatically generate some color palettes based on the photograph, or you can just come in with like, I have a hex value I want to work with, but I don't know what other colors go with it, so I can plug that in, and I get I think it's four, maybe five colors come out of it. But he wanted to do a mashup where you take that color palette and those circles and do some sort of composition that was interesting. He did a series of, I think, four or five of these. Another one of our designers wanted to just explore her illustrative side because she didn't get to do that on client work that much, so she spent a lot of time in Illustrator. Thinking in terms of it being a landscape, and she loves sheep. Maybe some of you guys know the reference here. I forget the name of it, but there's a movie with a power glove. No one? Yeah, all right. I don't know the name. You know it?
I don't know the name, but I know
what you're talking about. Yeah, so he wanted to just, this is again our friend and developer. Nothing in his visual as anyone else, but he had a concept and just wanted to go with it. It was a memory that he had. It was nostalgic, so he put that into a t-shirt. This one I think was mostly just atmospheric. There wasn't a whole lot of concept behind it, but it was just wanted to try something cool. So I think those are trees, tree branches overlaid, and then they turn into the drips. Same guy, he had just given up his piranhas. He had these piranhas for years, but he just couldn't, he didn't have time to feed them in some cases, and just felt really bad. He didn't want to harm them in any way, so he had given them back to the pet store, but he wanted to pay tribute to his pet piranhas, so he created this t-shirt in memory of them. Another one, some laughs, so. Mr. Brown's doing his job. This is good. This is Samantha's. Again, her thing is typography. So she had taken an existing typeface, retraced it with a pencil to give it some new expression, sort of taking it outside of what is so fixed and just loosening it up a little bit, adding some flourishes to it, and then creating a t-shirt. Turned out really great. One of our user experience designers, there's a blog in the user experience world called Boxes and Arrows, and it has all kinds of use cases and talks about user experience. One of my old bosses wrote an article there about how, are you guys familiar with the term the fold on a web page? The fold is where the content, when you first load a page, it's anything that's in view that you don't have to scroll for is called above the fold. The fold is where that line happens and content's not seen. This is something that we deal with all the time. Clients worrying about the content that they want to be seen being below the fold, so we'll never get seen if nobody scrolls. Scrolling used to be an issue. There was a time where that was a genuine concern, where people just didn't, when they were using the web, scrolling wasn't something that they did. They would just click around. Now it's not as bad. There's lots of people that have become accustomed to and familiar with scrolling. So she wrote an article about how the concept of the fold is irrelevant in today's web design and development world. So good thing to know about, but don't be too concerned with it. The term itself comes from the print world. So if you take a newspaper and you fold it up, or you take a magazine and put it on the magazine shelf in a store, you're only seeing like the masthead or the top portion of the magazine. So the part that's getting blocked out is considered the fold. That's what people aren't seeing. So you'll see all these people fighting to get what the main thing that they want to say with their magazine or newspaper or website up above the fold, so that people buy the papers or they click to read the article, so the traffic gets generated. So any questions about the fold? And then we talked about buttons. So this is the one we did most recently, and I think actually you guys will be the first ones to see this outside of Vega. We haven't published this blog yet. But again, the recurring theme of playing off our logo, but you know, he wanted to make buttons that were buttons. Another designer wanted to explore different types of facial hair. So he did all these different buttons. Another one, these are symbols from each of our individual blogs. Again, Company Spirit coming into play. This is another one that's buttons of buttons. What the designer had done is taken her grandmother's old buttons, like literal 3D buttons like on your shirt. She took them in and scanned them on a scanner, brought them into Photoshop, reduce the contrast, or increase the contrast, and flatten the color, and then added these bright colors behind them to create these really interesting visuals. Same designer taking her grandmother's old magazines and just cropping out pieces and to create these really cool compositions that are, you know, they're definitely evocative of a time long ago that's no longer here, but still pretty cool. Another facial hair exploration. This is based on, there's a designer named Charles S. Anderson. He's known for taken all these stock imagery. Like if any guys play Monopoly, you know the Monopoly cards, they have a certain design to them that evokes like some elements of print design from the 1920s and 1930s. But this guy, Charles Anderson, has taken all these things that the copyright had expired, archived them, and sort of licensed them. So he's the one now profiting off these things that you know, you used to be able to get for free. But he's taken these images, put them into the archive. So this was a tribute to CSA Charles S. Anderson. It's a tribute to him exploring different mustaches overlaid on top of that. And if you spend any time in any typography or type websites, you'll see these phrases a lot. They're usually used to, so you can see that a good mixture of typographic characters in a short sentence, so that you can say, okay, that's the typeface I'm looking for. I was really looking for this great looking G. So you see these phrases have been come up because they have a good mixture of letters. And different sites use different ones. So this one you'll see a lot. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. And then, so he illustrated that and then cited the typeface being used for each of those. that was how he decided to use his 4 hours. Another one, just cute, fun, good spirit. This is mine. I was in a weird mood that day, so sort of a social commentary on how comes you know we're going to save the whales. It's always the same animals, so I was just thinking about the cute animals. What about the cute animals? And then our company mascot, I love this one, is a rat, because Viget Labs, we've made our mascot the lab rat. So he just created a button based on that. So it's the fighting rats, like the fighting Irish. So that's essentially it. That's what we've come to do with taking time out of a business day to have some fun. It's great for the team, because we get to come together and smile about something that was, you know, meaningless for 4 hours. But as you'll see, it's not that meaningless, because we can reflect on it and remember that, hey, that was a great time, and I learned something from it. And now, having got to explore this one thing I wanted to do in Photoshop, which I never got to do for a client, I can now, the next time around, I'll have a little bit more comfort with trying to do it quickly. Because that's sort of the name of the game in the design world, is not only can you design, but can you design quickly, especially in if you're reading the newspaper about Economic Times, clients don't want to pay you to do work that's endless. They want to know, hey, I have this thing I want to do, and I want to do it. I want to have it ready 3 weeks from now. So we have to be on our toes quite a bit. So this is a way to help us in that way. That's essentially it. I think we have time for questions, and I could try to pull up that train station video.
Oh, yeah, while you're answering questions.
Cool. Question in the back?
Your teacher, do you actually make those?
That's a great question, and something I forgot to tell you about. There's a website called Spreadshirt.com. That I've never seen anyone else do this, but they do on-demand printing. So we created a store on Spreadshirt.com where you can have those shirts printed. Usually when you're printing T-shirts, you have to print them in a lot of, like, 50 to 100 to, you know, the more you print, the cheaper they are. So it's very unusual for people to do this, like, on-demand T-shirt print. You sacrifice a little bit in quality, but the fact that you can just, there's no cost to us. We can put these up there, and if people want to buy them, they're generally like $15 to $20, which isn't that bad for a cool T-shirt. But there, you know, you have to wash it in certain ways so that it doesn't show up and deteriorate too quickly. But again, yeah. So if you search for Spreadshirt and search for Viget, I think you'll probably see some of the shirts available. Feel free to
purchase any of them.
We're not making any profit on them, so they're just for fun. Any other thoughts or questions? Do you guys?
How often do you have the meeting things again?
Guys, turn off your monitors. Turn off your monitors.
How often do we have the meetings?
The
mobs?
Yeah, the mobs.
We haven't really set we're not doing it on a set basis, but they've been happening about every 3 months, which seems to be pretty seasonal, again. Go through these periods of time where we're slammed and people are putting in late nights and working really hard, and then there's times where just like, you know, you could be sitting around doing nothing, but that's not good. We don't want to have a company where people are just sitting around surfing the web. We want to do something that's plays into a number of factors. You're learning something, you're sharing something, you're making progress in your career. Because if we had a bunch of people just sitting around doing surfing the web, they wouldn't grow in their career, and that's not like, it's bad for business, but it's also bad for your own personal growth. Has anyone ever designed a T-shirt or buttons or anything like that? No. I encourage you to do so. I mean, especially if you're using some of the tools that we use, like Illustrator, Photoshop, they're easier than you would think to create, and there's so many different services and sites out there now that that really make it really cost effective and fun. You can really, if that's an interest of yours, like if illustration is an interest of yours, or if you just, I mean, you saw the one shirt that was, or a couple shirts that weren't even illustrated, they were just like phrases or you know, things that were, phrases that came to mind that were pretty creative and thoughtful. So, I mean, you can do anything.
Speaking of which, I saw a shirt online one time, right back there, I just wrote on the board. It said, body.ninja, display none. That was on the chest of the shirt.
Yeah, I love what CNN's doing, too, with their, they've created a store on CNN.com where you can buy shirts with memorable headlines. So, like, a lot of them came out at the inauguration. So some of them are on a serious tone, other ones are like just random, weird, odd news. Turn it into a t-shirt, you'll see people wearing around the t-shirt, they're pretty cool. But it doesn't take much. You could create a shirt like that in 10 minutes and put it online, and I'm not saying you'll make it rich, but pretty cool. You can feed the ego, you can say, hey, I made this shirt, go buy it. Make a shirt for your own flash mob, and show up with everybody wearing a shirt. So I was talking to the guys at work today. They're telling me that this one guy's created this event where they were going to see a band that nobody really knew about. So the band was expecting no one to show up, but apparently he rallied like 300 or so people to show up to see this band. And not only did they show up, and so it sort of freaked the band out, but they all designed tribute T-shirts to the band. And they all spent their own time doing it. Some of them were probably handwritten, some of them were probably a little more produced. But in my mind, it's kind of a negative thing for the band, but it still seemed like kind of a fun thing for half the people involved. I'm gonna pull up the video from the Liverpool train station just to see, so you can get a sense of how these things go down.
I wanted to ask, where did this come from, and what do like your employees have to say about it? Like, what's the overall? I'm sure they enjoy it, but mm-hmm. What do they all have to say about it?
Well, the idea of a flash mob, I think, is rooted in stuff that's happened over time. In the 60s, they used to have events called happenings. And they weren't as collaborative and social as this. The happening used to be somebody was going to go do performance art, and everyone would gather and just watch that one person, that one individual, do their performance art, whether it was dancing or doing mime things or playing violin at the place in that wasn't really, you could have a happening that happens in like Trafalgar Square or some like Times Square, where it wasn't an interior building or inside of a large auditorium. It was just sort of this random public thing, and by spreading the word, people would show up and support this happening. So I think flash mobs come out of that. I don't have research to back that up, but it's sort of where I think they came from. But now with the web and everything being about social networking tools and getting contacting people quickly, you could literally say, hey, let's all go to Burger King later today and do whatever, just get a shake and just show up, and Burger King will be really happy because they'll get lots of money.
But where along the lines did like Bigot say, yeah, this is a cool idea, let's try to pull it?
So I brought the idea there based on when I was in college in design school. I had a professor who every Friday he would make us do what he called lightning exercises. I don't remember the term he used, but I think that was it. But essentially, you didn't know what the project was going to be that day, and you had that classroom's time, which is usually like 3 hours, to get the project, and by the end of it, we had to have something produced, and then he would critique it. So a lot of times that was like, taking old magazines and cutting things out and making visual compositions with them, but also creating the story behind how those different magazine elements came together to tell a larger story. And so it's sort of the same sort of thinking, like, you know, short amount of time, you don't know what you're doing when you get into it, but it forces you to be creative. I found that some of the best work I had done was in that 3 hours versus the projects that took 3 weeks, and you spend, you know, two of those weeks lamenting of what am I gonna do, how am I gonna do this? And then the night before, just spending, pulling an all-nighter just to get the work done. So it was sort of a relief too, because you just, there's no pretension, you just show up, do what you gotta do, and then at the end of it, you're done. You don't have, and no homework, you know, you can, it's, if it's a Friday, go have a good time on your weekend. So it's that sort of spirit, and I had done a couple of these when I worked at AOL prior to working at Vigit. We had done a couple of them, the same sort of purpose, just doing desktop wallpapers or random things that we just wanted to explore and have some fun with. So it comes from that, but how's it perceived? I think at first there was some skepticism, like you're doing what? But once we did the desktop wallpapers and people could see how they were being used, and we put them on our blog, so there's a lot of traffic, a lot of attention being drawn to them, and people thought they were pretty cool, and they would download them themselves. And you walk around the office, and there's a different desktop wallpaper on and everyone's screen is trying to see. It's cool to see all these things that happened on this one day. So I think after that, it was quickly understood that, okay, there's some value to this. Design team had some fun, so all this stress of the day-to-day, working really, really hard. We work really hard. We work like lawyers. We bill by the hour, bill on increments of 15 minutes. So for us to do something like this was a stress relief. As glamorous as web design looks on the outside, some days it's not all that fun. So this is a great way to just, collaborate and have fun, and what I love about it is we go into it and I don't know what anyone else is doing, and usually about 3 hours into it or so, you'll start to see some of the work coming through, and you're just blown away, like, oh man, I wish I had done that, or now it's sparking this new idea that I wish I had known then, but you learn from that, and the next time you'll be that much stronger in your creativity because you've been inspired by the people that surround you. Okay. Let's see. So search cool silent. It's really hard to type with your neck.
Is it on the, it should be on the monitor too. Is it right here?
Yeah, you can
watch on the same.
Oh. Thank you.
Do you need
a senior moment?
See. That blows you away, the dials right there.
All right, let's check this one out. Well, I think they're all covered. I'm just wondering. So this happened recently, February 6th, last week. Thank you. And this one, they've overlaid music onto the video, but that music wasn't playing in the train station. See, some people have headphones on. Some people just heard about the event and just showed up for fun. In some ways, a European thing. Like, anyone heard of the Love Parade in Germany? It's an annual summer festival where it's like this. Everybody just shows up and just dances in the streets. Sort of like that, but the difference here being the idea of the silent disco. The Love Parade, they actually blast the music around. It's usually fun to just trying to just have fun. You can imagine being someone that works in the Liverpool train station being like, what is going on? it's all in the spirit of fun. No fights, everyone's cool. Racism does not know about this. We're not prepared for this. And some of the videos I've seen, maybe this will happen. At the end, they show the loudspeakers and generally, these things will have certain rules and criteria, and they'll have like a set time for you to start at 6 p.m. and you have to be done by 6:15. So show up, do your thing, and then you get out of it. Yeah, so. Watch the news, you'll see different types of these. There's been subway parties where people just show up on and they go to this one car on the subway and just have a party, and random bicycle rides here and there. Pillow fights is a big one. There's been one event where people showed up and were just like motionless. So everybody, like, it was like if we all just sat here and just like took a pose for like 2 minutes, and people walking by going to work just going, what's this about? But yeah, social, collaborative, quick, fun, and all the tools now, Facebook, Twitter, you guys are probably using some of those, help spread the word quickly. Mobile telephony, you're sending text messages to your friends, you can do this in small groups. Hey, let's all go somewhere and do something, or you can do it large groups like this. So that's essentially it.
Excellent. We have maybe 30 seconds left, so.
Oh, really?
Good. Yeah, that's perfect time. If you guys have questions or you want to go introduce yourself to them individually, feel free. But other than that, you guys have a great weekend. Tyler, absolutely no flash mob dance parties on Monday. Okay, don't organize them.
JP.
But cool. Make sure you thank our speaker for coming in, and you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks for your time. Great practice. I don't get out and speak as much as I'd like to, and talking to these guys eases my jitters a little bit.
Guys, have a good weekend.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Happy Valentine's Day.
Did you close the P tag down below? I can't help you right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Who's giving these
out? That's for Angie.
Yeah, but who's giving them up?
I don't know. Somebody gave it to me.
I am senior.
Sorry.
What?
Yeah, well, hopefully that wasn't too random and
Oh, I don't know.